Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
AJ Hinch, we'll get back to your phone calls. We did promise some Michigan and Michigan State talk before this hour was done. Gator, the Spartans game at USC. Look, this is it's a huge ask to go out to USC at 11 p.m. start. I was thinking about this. Usually on these team flights, your wheels up about 2 hours after the game ends. I think I went upstairs to go to bed at 3 a.m., meaning they left at 5 a.m. most likely, unless they stayed the night. I didn't hear that they were planning on that, which means they landed back here at, 10 a.m. on Sunday? It's a good thing Michigan State has a bye. All in all, that feels like a scheduled loss. It went from being a difficult game to an impossible game, and then they started enduring injuries. There was some good that came out of it, some alarming things still that are present with this team, but Aiden Childs can play this game. And the receivers, they got some good receivers.
They have some great receivers. And yeah, Aiden Childs had another good game. Not great, but good.
Yep.
And the thing that showed up to me most was really about what USC was able to do. USC's defense has some playmakers on that defensive line, specifically in linebackers. The front seven were after it all game long. And they kept making plays. Now, if you watch it, it seemed like there was an awful lot of Michigan State not being able to block the guys or missing their assignments is what it looked like to me. Too much of that, whether it was in the pass blocking game or in the run blocking game, there were problems up front for Michigan State. But I'm going to credit USC for having some players who are able to get the job done. What was most frustrating to me watching the game as a Spartan was that Michigan State couldn't stop the run. And I'm like, where are you guys? Like, they're completely blocked out of the way, guys going in the wrong lanes. And it was unbelievable. They were getting like 8 yards a carry, it felt like, throughout most of the game. And, and when all said and done, USC ran for 289 yards and over 7 yards per carry. And they just kept gashing him. And Michigan State had no answer for it. Like, the guys making the tackles weren't linebackers. Like, why is the secondary always the last line of defense here? It shouldn't get to that point. It was just frustrating to watch it. And yet, also proud that they fought the way that they did. They got this to a one-score game. Late in that game was a one-score game, which was kind of cool to see. But they just didn't have enough to get it done. It was a one wide open play that Childs didn't make the pass on, which was unfortunate, but he made some other great plays. In the end, USC was the better team and they won the game handily. And for Michigan State to play basically the entire second half without four really good defenders, it was a difficult task to see if they could keep it close. And they did. They were able to keep it close. And fortunately, sounds like Matthews is going to be okay. The reports
God, that was scary
that he flew back on the team plane. It was scary because I'm like, wait a minute, what's wrong with this guy? He's moving his legs. They're testing his legs. I'm like, oh, they're testing his feet. Something's wrong. And then obviously everything else happens where they bring the ambulance out and you're just praying that he's going to be okay. And it happens a play after you get the collision.
The two run into each other. Yeah.
That just unfortunately they had the targeting call in the first half. There goes your best defensive player in Jordan Hall. So it was a tough evening for Michigan State.
Michigan. The Michigan offense runs one of my favorite plays in football, the 75-yard touchdown run. And they seem to run it a lot.
Is that one of your favorite plays?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite plays in football. They won this game in spite of the catastrophic mistakes. You can make mistakes, and you can make catastrophic mistakes. And Michigan made two potentially catastrophic mistakes, and they overcame them as far as the end of the first half and the personal foul penalty. And look, it's not a game of perfect. You're going to make mistakes. The mistakes go in vain if you don't learn from them. And certainly there's things that they can and will do better. And, you know, believe me, I know that when fans get really worked up about stuff, it's not like the coaches are over there in the corner saying, I don't know what you're talking about. They review and look at everything a million times over, and things will get addressed. As far as the catastrophic mistakes are concerned, the Michigan defensive line was the most dominant unit on the field. And that was from beginning to end. They came out in the second half, which after you give up the Hail Mary at the end of the first half, Jansen was on the team that gave up the Cordell Stewart Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing echoed. That thing hurt that team for weeks.
Coming close to that anniversary. Just
and so I asked him about it. I said, did that hurt you in more than just that game? And he said, yeah, it really did. And even if the difference between, you know, the Colorado Hail Mary was a kill shot and the Nebraska Hail Mary came at the end of the first half. If that had played a role in a loss, then I think that could have had a similar effect. That's one. But they came out in the second half, and their defense, three and out, and then a penalty allowed a drive to continue. They could have won by more, but they were a one-point favorite. They went in, they got the win, and I give a ton of credit to that offensive line. They've had two injuries to starters and a third to a potential starter on that offensive line. They've reshuffled. And with 12 minutes to go in that game, they put together an 8-minute, 16-play drive that resulted in a field goal that bled the clock. And a lot of it was on the ground. Good job by that offensive line that you kind of hope had a coming-of-age type of drive, because I wasn't sure they had that in them. And they went out and put that game away.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely a dominant game for Michigan at the line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively. And I saw something that, and you talked about this specifically, I think on Friday's show, when we're kind of previewing what was going to happen. And you said something about the secondary for Nebraska is really good, but they put those guys on an island. And they go man coverage. And when they go man coverage, they turn their backs to the play, and that allows for, if you're able to run the ball and your receivers are just running out, the defensive backs are just going to follow them, it allows for the possibility of some big gashing running plays. And I don't know, 75, 54, 37, are those big gashing running plays?
Yeah.
So that happened. That was impressive.
Yeah, and really, I think it was a really well-called game by Chip Lindsey, the offensive coordinator. 248.
I was surprised there were only 54 plays for Michigan in the game.
It's because they had some quick drives, which can cut down.
That's what happens when you go 75 yards.
248-539-9797. Champ and Chubb votes. We will get to them. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. We'll get into full Lions-Ravens preview at 12:30, and your calls are next. You're on 97.1 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.